The verdict is in for El Chapo.
Mexican drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman.
When the U.S. really puts his mind to it, they can capture and bring somebody like Chapo to justice.
One of the world's most infamous gangsters.
This man is a ruthless, dangerous trafficker.
El Chapo had been in hiding since 2001.
Inflammatory testimony, bribery, murders, sort of how the Sinaloa cartel was formed back in the day.
There's a fear of him escaping.
He jumped out of bed without clothes on, tripped a secret switch that lifted up his bathtub, fled through basically the sewer system under the city and got away.
A federal jury here in the Eastern District convicted Joaquin El Chapo Guzman Loera.
Chapo Guzman has been convicted on all counts.
On all counts of the federal indictment.
En el juicio contra Joaquin El Chapo Guzman.
It is guilty on all counts for the notorious El Chapo.
After decades of evasion and escape and enough melodrama for 10 Netflix series, El Chapo stands convicted. The Mexican drug kingpin Joaquin El Chapo Guzman now faces life in prison, and that would be a supermax federal prison, not the kind of place you can tunnel out of. El Chapo's capture and conviction have been a priority in the Mexican war on drugs. Here's Richard Donahue, the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York, speaking on Tuesday following the guilty verdict.
This conviction is a victory for every family who has lost a loved one to the black hole of addiction. There are those who say that the war on drugs is not worth fighting. Those people are wrong.
But for many in Mexico, his capture and trial appear to be more of a charade.
It's a reflection of what happens in the Mexican society, but El Chapo's trial has not been as spectacular as it was thought in the United States. This probably will not affect anything in the country, unless the government has a will to go after the corrupt politicians.
That's Guadalupe Correa Cabrera. She's an associate professor in the Schar School of Policy and Government at George Mason University. Since the Mexican drug war was launched in 2006, over 200,000 people have died, more than 30,000 people have disappeared, and new criminal organizations have emerged. In 2008, the U.S. began providing weapons, training, and billions of dollars to Mexican security forces to fight organized crime. But the violence continues. 2018 saw more homicides in Mexico than any previous year, more than 33,000. I asked Guadalupe Correa Cabrera whether we could be looking at a new chapter in the war on drugs following El Chapo's conviction.
Well, the verdict, we expected that. Mm-hmm. There are many things that were said about the Sinaloa cartel that might affect to some extent the investigations that can be done if there is political will to be done this by the Mexican authorities. However, you know, the spectacular statements and the spectacular stories are really not going to affect drug trafficking in the United States. It is not going to affect the position of the Sinaloa cartel in any major form. I mean, it's not the time of the narcos. Probably symbolically speaking, this is a symbol of the end of the times of the narcos, the narco era. And this is important because these organizations have become more sophisticated. The different segments of the supply chain are managed by different people. We're not talking about these vertical organizations that at some point existed in Mexico that were run by families, that were very, very vertical, and that if the head was wrong, something happened, or the kids take over, and it was a big fight for power. But that's really not what is happening now. And at the same time, we're dealing with organizations that respond to the demand for drugs. It's not about the supply side of things. And this is what we are right now focusing on. And this is what U.S. agencies are focusing on, because also this has to do with their budgets. And if they have, you know, if they have these targets all the time, the kingpin strategy is very good for like the Drug Enforcement Administration in the United States, because you will always have targets. You will always have kingpins to go after them. You generate more violence, so you have more to say about this. But in reality, drug addiction is not finished in the United States, and drugs continue coming in larger numbers.
Could you explain a bit for us the complexity of the landscape now of the drug war in Mexico? Because it's not just the Sinaloa cartel. Could you give us a sort of short sketch of how things have changed there?
One thing is something that the United States media or political commentators in the United States and also in Mexico forget that the problems in Mexico and the violence in Mexico is not exclusively drug related. And the organizations that we see that are highly armed and that are called drug cartels do not necessarily traffic drugs. What has happened with other groups in Mexico? Because of 12 years of a so-called drug war, which means the militarization of security strategy in Mexico, in the framework of the Mérida Initiative, this means in collaboration with the United States and a strategy that's based on many things, but one important element of that strategy has been to go after the kingpins, the kingpin strategy. That has caused a lot of fragmentation in some organizations. So you have a lot of groups right now operating in Mexico. Not all of them traffic drugs. Some of them dedicate to steal gasoline. The huachicoleo, the recent crisis of gasoline in Mexico has to do with that phenomenon. That's not only part of the drug cartel structures. It's, I mean, other criminal groups that are highly armed and have adopted this model. So there are a lot of cells now operating in different parts of the country. And this has caused a very high level of homicides. So last year was the year with the largest number of homicides. So this rate has come up instead of going down. But that is not necessarily is directed to drug trafficking. And we have to understand that these organizations have a lot of capacity of fire and they control territories. And this is why they fight for territories. But it's not only about drugs. So El Chapo Guzman, I mean, we're focusing here on El Chapo Guzman's trial and El Chapo Guzman's verdict. It's not going to change the panorama of organized crime in Mexico.
In the U.S., we tend to see the violence in Mexico just entirely through the lens of the drug war. Of those, you know, more than 30,000 murders last year, how much of that had to do with the drug trade?
This is an important question because we don't know. Officially, we don't know. There was an attempt to calculate that drug-related murders at some point or, you know, murders related to this phenomena. We don't have that number. We just have the absolute number of homicides. But as I say, you go after all these groups that are highly armed and commit extortion, kidnap people, and dedicate to other criminal activities. We really don't know how many of these homicides are related to drugs and the drug war in itself.
The capture and conviction of El Chapo reflects the kingpin strategy, as it's been called. It worked in as much as that Chapo will now be going to prison. But does it work, or what will work going forward from here as an approach?
I mean, we have an opioid crisis in the United States, right? People consume more drugs than ever, and billions of dollars have been spent on anti-narcotics cooperation with other countries in the Americas and the world. And this kingpin strategy has been repeated and multiplied in the past decades, and nothing has happened. Therefore, it's a failed strategy. The kingpin strategy is failed if we consider the objectives of the agencies like the DEA. If the agencies like the DEA have other goals, like just strategic control of the Americas, that is a good strategy. But if this is about drugs, if this is about less drugs arriving to the United States, it has totally failed. So therefore, we can think about the different strategies to deal with this issue that maybe have to do with the demand of drugs. Maybe dealing with this issue as a problem of public health would help more. This has been discussed forever. Many people have said that, but this seems to be about budgets. This seems to be about other strategic goals. This is probably the war on drugs. It's not about drugs itself. It's about other things. Let's think about it.
Well, in terms of that, of this newer phase of the drug war and with the opioid crisis and a lot of fentanyl coming from Mexico, what's going to be the right approach to deal with that? Or is that just going to keep coming, getting worse?
Then this mystification that all drugs come from the south, that they cross through the border, is just a myth. How much of the fentanyl that it's consuming the United States is really coming from China, crossing through the Mexican ports and going to the United States? I mean, in different fora related to this. And nobody has been able to answer the question, how much of the fentanyl that's consuming the United States comes from Mexico? There is the assumption that the majority of this, by some authorities and by some people who address this issue from the Mexican perspective, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there is assumption that as if all the fentanyl, because the cocaine came from Mexico at some point, it's coming from Mexico. As you know, the fentanyl that comes from Asia is pure. It's much purer than the one that's produced in Mexico. So most of the materials that are utilized to produce fentanyl come from Asia. They can come from Canada. They can come from different parts. Why they should make their way through Mexico? This is the thing that we have to consider. I mean, the problem today, it's symptomatic of a very sick society. And there are other factors that are psychological, that are social, that might have been impacting this. It's about the demand. It's not about the supply. And we need to remember that. So with this, I mean, it can be fentanyl now, and tomorrow it can be cocaine again. And the day after that, it can be another drug. And the crisis are going to repeat. So many years of a war on drugs in the United States, and we are in the worst time of all. And there is like this obsession to continue with these and these trials, spending so much money to make this all so spectacular. The dogs, the people that are armed, the judges, and things are worse than ever. But as I said, maybe the objective of the DEA is not to protect its nation from drugs, but exercising strategic control on the Americans.
Guadalupe Carrera Cabrera is associate professor at George Mason University. Guadalupe, thank you.
Thank you, Arun, for this. Thank you for having me here. It has been a pleasure.